Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters Radio Show, number 683 in the series. This session shares the Franklin Mass Town Council meeting held on Wednesday, December 15, 2021. The meeting was conducted in a hybrid format. Members of the Town Council, Town Administration personnel were in the Council Chambers. Some members of the public participated in person, some via the Zoom conference bridge, all to adhere to the social distance requirements of this pandemic period. The recording runs about an hour and 20 minutes. The show notes contain links to the meeting agenda. So let's listen to the Town Council meeting of December 15, 2021.
Good evening. Time being 7 o'clock, I call the December 15, 2021 meeting of the Franklin Town Council to order. Please pause for a moment of silence. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Announcements from the chair. All citizens are now welcome to attend public board and committee meetings in person. Additionally, in an effort to maximize citizen engagement opportunities, you will be able to continue to participate remotely via phone or Zoom using the provided phone number, or you may click the Zoom link that is on the posted agenda and on the town's website. The phone number is 929-205-6099. The Zoom ID is 811-4415-4586, and then you need to hit the pound sign. Once again, the meeting ID, 811-4415-4586, and then the pound sign. The attached link and phone number will be active for the duration of the meeting for citizens to ask questions and or voice concerns. If residents are just interested in watching the meeting, it will also be live streamed by Franklin TV and shown on Comcast Channel 11 and Verizon Channel 29. Next item on the agenda is citizens' comments. Citizens are welcome to express their views for up to 5 minutes on a matter that is not on the agenda. The council will not engage in a dialogue or comment on a matter raised during citizens' comments. The town council will give remarks appropriate consideration and may ask the town administrator to review the matter. Is there anyone in the audience that would like, in the council chambers, that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda? Please just come forward, identify yourself, name and address, please.
Leo Gallagher, 55 Hillside Road. Just a note, Hillside Road is a strange road. We have Summit Road that runs behind us and a bunch of the residents. Our mailboxes are garages, that's access to our house is Summit Road. I've been there for 20 years. Got Pete Steves and Linda Murphy here, been there over 40. The people who live in One Summit Road, the big stone house up top, Joe Kalal lived there before me. His wife was a nurse, was plowing the road. I've plowed it the last 20 years. Fasolino plows our neighborhood, and they've been up there, and I'd just be like, I got it. And I don't have a plow anymore, and Joe's moved. It is a town road. It's on the GPS. I left paperwork for everyone from Norfolk County Deeds. It's actually, I have the original if anyone wants to look at it, but it's actually from the 60s, from the Faulkner, Roach, and Cataldo. I have the original one, but it was left to me by the previous owners, just proving it was a town road, even though people plowed it. There was a road that said Summit Road nailed to a tree when I originally moved in. It was like a white one with black letters that rotted off. I went to see Brutus with this letter in October and said, hey, I've been plowing the road. It is a town road. The mail gets delivered there. It's access to all our houses and our garages. And he said he'd look into it, go see Tom at the DPW, I don't remember his last name, and get a street sign. I spoke, left messages for Tom. He finally called me back and he said, basically, it's not a town road. All the road maps say it's private. You'll have to pay $75 for the sign and we're not gonna plow the road. So, didn't hear back from Brutus. Kinda figured I exhausted my resources on that end. The paperwork I left everyone basically shows it's a public way. These two can, I don't remember the town plowing it besides seeing Fasolino back there, but it's a town road and we're just looking to get it plowed. It's about 400 foot road. There's a circle at the end. The driveway that goes up to Summit Road both have postings on their thing that says private way, but that's their driveway, not Summit Road itself. So I've went to Brutus. I haven't heard back from him, and Tom told me it wasn't going to be a town road, so I'm pretty sure that paperwork explains everything about it. I mean, our mail's delivered there, our garage is there, that's access to our houses, so just looking to get a plow. No biggie. All right, nice to see all you guys. I haven't seen you in a while.
Thank you, Leo.
Okay.
Thanks, Leo.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the council chambers that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda?
The presentation.
Okay, is there anyone out in Zoom land that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda? There is a little delay, so give him a few seconds. Do you see anything, Alicia?
No.
Nor am I. So we will move on. Next item on the agenda is the approval of minutes, and I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes from November 10th, 2021.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Additions, deletions? Discussion? Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion to approve the minutes from November 10th, 2021. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Moving on, proclamations, recognitions. We do not have any this evening. Appointments. We have three this evening. And the first one is Franklin Cultural District Committee. Catherine Botello, clerk, will read the appointment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is an appointment for the Cultural District's Committee. Catherine Botello of 70 East Central Street, Franklin, Mass. 02038. The Cultural District Committee has recommended the appointment of Catherine Botello to serve as a member of the Cultural District Committee with a term to expire on June 30th, 2024. This is a motion to ratify the appointment by the town administrator of Catherine Botello to serve as a member of the Cultural District Committee.
Second.
Motion and a second. Jamie?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just wanted to say thanks to the Cultural District Committee. They have searched out some of their own members, and Catherine and Patrick, who was unable to attend, but Catherine's here. We recommend approval of those appointments. Thank you.
Any further discussion from the council? Seeing none, then the vote will come on the motion to approve the appointment of Catherine Botello to the Franklin Cultural District Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous, motion carries. Welcome. Okay, next, Franklin Cultural District Committee, Patrick Timmons. Clerk will read the appointment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is also an appointment for the Cultural District Committee, Patrick Timmons of 866 King Street, Franklin, Mass. 02038. Cultural District Committee has recommended the appointment of Patrick Timmons to serve as a member of the Cultural District Committee with a term to expire on June 30th, 2024. This is a motion to ratify the appointment by the Town Administrator Patrick Timmons to serve as a member of the Cultural District Committee.
Second.
Motion and a second. Jamie, anything to add? Discussion from the council, comment? Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion to approve Patrick Timmons to the Franklin Cultural District Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous. Motion carries. Last appointment this evening, Community Preservation Committee, Richard Rick Power. Clerk will read the appointment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is also another appointment for Community Preservation Committee. Richard Powers of 10 Royal Court, Franklin, Mass., 02038. Community Preservation Act has recommended the appointment of Richard Powers as serves as a member of the Community Preservation Committee with a term to expire June 30, 2022. This is a motion ratifying the appointment by the Town Administrator of Richard Powers to serve as a member of the Community Preservation Committee.
Second.
Motion and second. Jamie.
Through Mr. Chairman, I just want to note that Mr. Power is a representative from the Planning Board. As folks may recall, there has to be a member from the Planning Board, and Rick was their nominee at their last meeting. Thank you.
So we took one person, or one person came off?
Mr. Halligan was the member that was on the Planning
Board. Just want to make sure that everybody understands what transpired. Okay, any further?
I would suggest adding as a notation there as Planning Board representative to the CPC.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, yeah. I'd like to make a motion to amend this appointment for Richard Power to the Community Preservation Committee to state that the Community Preservation Committee has recommended the appointment of Richard Power to serve as a member of the Community Preservation Committee with a term to expire on June 30th as a representative of the Planning Board.
Second.
Motion to second. Further discussion.
Will Mr. Power be a voting member then of the?
Yes.
Seeing no further discussion, the vote will come on the appointment of Richard Power to the Community Preservation Committee as the Planning Board representative. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, unanimous. We have no hearings this evening. And move on to license transactions. The 2022 annual alcohol license renewals. Clerk will read the license renewals.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not going to read the license numbers, but I will read the businesses. Doing business as 7-Eleven at 664 Union Street. Outstanding inspection fees pending re-inspection. 99 Restaurant at 947 West Central Street. Acapulco's at 371 Union Street, the Alumni Restaurant at 391 East Central Street, Bamboo House at 2 Main Street, BJ's Wholesale Club at 100 Corporate Drive, license and inspection fees, Dacey's Market, 353 Lincoln Street, license and inspection fees, Dean College, 135 Emmons Street, DeVita's Market, 198 East Central Street, Frower's Market, 20 West Central Street, Franklin Brewing Company at 67 Degrees, 158 Grove Street, Franklin Country Club, 672 Essential Street, license and inspection fees. Franklin Liquors at 333 Essential Street. Franklin Elks, Manila Protective Water, 2136 1077 Pond Street. Franklin Performing Arts Company Incorporated, 15 West Central Street, inspection fees pending. Franklin Shed, 340 Essential Street, license and inspection fees. Glen Farm and Distillery, 860 West Central Street. Hangtai Restaurant, 2630 Central Street. Ichigo Ichi's at 837 West Central Street. Jimmy D's LLC at 338 Union Street. King Street Cafe and Deli at 390 King Street. La Cantina Winery at 355 and 357 Union Street. Lincoln Street Market at 467 Lincoln Street. Lincoln Liquor World at 365 West Central Street.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Go ahead.
You need to make sure you specify on the record in those cases where there are fees outstanding.
He's been reading those.
No, he missed a couple.
Franklin Performing Arts Company, inspection fee pending. Franklin Shed, license inspection list.
Glen Farm, Glen Farm.
It's
It's updated.
There's updated.
We were given an updated list this evening.
I thought you said everything.
I did. I don't miss much, Mark.
Okay, continue.
You're welcome. All right, backing up again. Where was it?
Longmont.
Thank you. 250 Franklin Village Drive, inspection fees withstanding. Magura House, 2090 Central Street. Max Roast Beef and Breakfast Club, 451 West Central Street, license and inspection, cease pending the inspection. Maple Gate Country Club, 160 Maple Gate, Bellingham, inspection fee. Uzo Corporation, Franklin Mobile, 660 West Central Street. Pepper Terrace Restaurant at 440 Franklin Village Drive. Proof Restaurant at 862 West Central Street. Poor Richard's Wine and Spirits at 14 Grove Street. Public House, 280 Franklin Village Drive. Residence Inn, 4 Forge Parkway. License and inspection fees pending in the inspection. Rome Restaurant, 40 Central Street. License and inspection fees. Santa Fe Burrito Grill, 28 West Central Street. License and inspection fees. Shaw Supermarket, 255 East Central Street, license and inspection fees. Sierra Brick Oven Pizza at 648 Old West Central Street. Table Invite Incorporated at 348 East Central Street. Teddy Gallagher's Pub at 30 Main Street. The Chateau at 466 King Street. The Curry House at 418 West Central Street, license and inspection fees and PP.
Personal property.
Personal property, thank you. Little Shop of Olive Oils, 5 Main Street, inspection fees, 3. At 461 West Central Street, Union Street Wines and Liquors at 317 Union Street, and Village Mall Liquors at 60 Franklin Village Drive, inspection fees. Buildings are not yet complete and under construction will be 2020. That's what the note to be in the law. Mr. Chairman, the 2022 annual alcoholic beverages license renewals, all establishments but 8 have passed inspections by the Building Department, Board of Health, and Fire Department. We have noted those establishments as well, as those establishments have fees or taxes due to the town. This is a motion to approve the renewal of alcoholic beverages licenses on the attached renewal license for the year 2022 for the issuance of licenses that have inspections, fees, or taxes outstanding to be withheld, physically held in the town administrator's office until all items are resolved.
Second.
Motion is second. Discussion, Jamie?
I'll send it, Chairman.
Questions or comments from the council? Councilor Hanlon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair to Jamie. Last year, we had lowered the license fees for restaurants through COVID. It's one of the things we talked about. Is this license fee back up to the normal level?
Through you, Mr. Chairman. Councilor Hanlon is correct. It feels like a long time ago that the council reduced the fee by 25%. That bylaw resolution at the time sunsets at the end of the year, so yes, the fee goes back to the full amount.
All right, thank you. One more thing. Has there been any report, any issues that had to be reported to the Alcohol Beverage Commission through any of these licenses?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, not to my knowledge. Alicia, can you remember any?
I don't think anything was reported to the ABCC.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Hamlin. Councilor Plagrie.
Councilor Hamlin asked my question about any problems, you know, with any of these that had to be sent into the ABCC. Through the chair to the chief, just a question about Dean College, since this was their first time having it. How did they do? What kind of grade would you give them?
Through you, Mr. Chairman. There's been no problems with Dean, and there have been no problems reported directly to the police department, and the ABCC hasn't contacted us with anything. So,
that's what
good.
We like to hear.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Plagrie. Councilor Jones.
Oh, don't sit down, Chief. When can we expect to do, Mr. Chairman? When can we expect compliance checks? We usually send out notices, correct, in regards to compliance checks so that they get a heads up like 2 months in advance on any of these weeks. Are we on schedule to put any new compliance checks in the upcoming 2022?
We did not put in for the grant to be able to do it. We could still end up doing it, but as soon as I onboard some more staff, we'll be more than happy to try to, you know, get that.
Okay.
I just don't know if I'd be able to get the bodies to do the overtime there, being forced regularly to work overtime right now because of how short we are.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Councilor Jones. Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? One abstention, myself. Motion carries. Okay, moving forward. Next item is presentations and discussions. Human resources, Karen Brack. Would you like to do a lead in, Jamie?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Really quickly, as folks can see up on the screen, Karen was gracious enough to put together a comprehensive presentation. The Finance Committee had asked for this earlier in the year, and so Karen worked really hard over a series of weeks to put together a presentation, and first gave this presentation at the October 13th Finance Committee. And the deeper dive here is really into benefits, was their request in terms of pension, healthcare, and what some of the trends are. And so while we were doing the benefits, seeing as how the HR department is a staff of two, we decided to put on the front end because we realized when we look back through the records, the council has never had a presentation like all of you are familiar with other departmental presentations. We had never done one on human resources before. Maybe it is because the budget is so small and so many people, but so this is a comprehensive look at the human resources department as well as the town benefits package. And then pass it over now to Karen.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Mr. Chair. I will just do a quick overview of, like Jamie said, both human resources budget and the benefits budget, which makes up human resources a little small, but the benefits budget is quite a big portion of our how we spend our money here at Franklin. So a little bit about what human resources does. We manage all the hiring activity for the town, so I'm involved in interviewing, screening, conducting references, completing the pre-hire activities. We do pre-employment physicals and drug screens, as well as Corey checks for all our employees. I process the job offers and assist with onboarding these people. We process resignations and retirements. We do exit interviews and provide guidance for people that are looking to retire, trying to, you know, help coach people along and understand the retirement system a little bit better. Obviously, we refer them to Norfolk County for the real answer. We can at least help them along the way. We do a lot of employee relations and policy enforcement. I work directly with the department heads and managers to address performance issues and coach them along the way. And we manage all benefits for active town employees and our retirees. So that would include health insurance, dental insurance, life insurance, long-term disability, short-term disability, flexible spending accounts, health savings accounts, deferred compensation, pretty much anything that comes that way. As the Human Resources Director, I'm a member of the management team that reviews the annual health insurance plans and the rate changes. That management team includes Jamie as the town administrator, Miriam Goodman, who's the school business administrator, and Lisa Trainer, who's the town school HR director. So we work together as a team to present information to the full insurance advisory committee, accompanied by our broker and consultant, which is NFP. We manage the town's workers' comp program. So that includes workers' compensation under Mass General Law for, you know, most employees, and then police and fire are covered by a different law. I'm the co-chair of the Employee Safety Committee with Alicia, the co-lead negotiator with Jamie on all collective bargaining, and we also maintain compensation and classification plans to try to help the town stay competitive in, you know, both recruiting new talent, but also making sure we're paying competitive wages to keep the talented employees that we have. Our budget is not too big. As you can see, it's just myself and HR Administrator Sandy. We share an office with the school human resources office, but they're actually sit in the school budget, but it's really nice to be in the same spot as them. And since I've been here, and I think a little bit before that, we really try to collaborate quite a bit so we're not recreating the wheel and doing the same, you know, if we're offering health insurance, we now do a joint memo and work together on some of those joint projects instead of this is town and this is school. It is a small staff and it's very busy, so we're talking, I'm certainly advocating to Jamie to maybe do additional investments in staff as we move forward, especially with succession planning and people leaving our department and the school department. The HR expense budget is $53,650. The majority of that is health and medical services, which is $22,500. So that's our pre-employment physicals. We have more stringent requirements for police and fire and the CDL drivers within the DPW. But even, you know, any employee is going to go to a pre-employment physical and have a drug screen, which is usually about $110. Police and fire, we have to do a psychological exam as well. And it typically costs about $1,000, $1,100 to get a new police officer or firefighter on board. And as you know from everyone coming to a council meeting for the past couple of years, there's quite a few of them. My budget would also pay for independent medical exams. So if we find that an employee's out on leave for a long time and we're not really getting much information from their doctors, we'll often send them to an independent medical exam to try to determine, you know, how likely it would be that they'll return to work. We spend about $3,000 a year on advertising. That's certainly ticking up. It's extremely expensive to post jobs on sites like Indeed, or I've tried a couple other ones that were a couple hundred dollars for a week. It didn't really seem to yield the results I needed, so we're mostly sticking with Indeed and our own website. We do put specialized ads, so if I had a management job for the town, I typically post on Mass Municipal Association's website, and that's really the place to go for town employees and people looking for jobs in municipal government. But we certainly post in more specialized ones, like there's certain DPW, Water and Sewer Associations, NW, North, and Brutus knows that some big DPW site, health officers, it really depends on what we're hiring. So we'll do a little bit more specialized advertising there. We also have, you know, a small budget for office supplies, meetings and conferences. I usually try to go to the MMA and the MMHR events each year. And this year we actually added quite a bit of money to do a compensation and classification plan. So we're hiring an outside vendor to look at our pay plans and making sure that we're offering competitive salaries. Long term, I'm hoping to up that budget in the next couple of years to do electronic applicant tracking systems and electronic personnel files. We're spending an inordinate amount of time, paper, just, you know, extra time trying to get information to department heads, inter-office mail, scanning. It would just be a lot more efficient and easier to share information if we get some more electronic systems going. That's something we've been thinking about for a while, but just haven't really had the time to invest in doing that just yet, but hopefully in the near future. The benefits budget is quite a bit bigger than the HR budget. For FY22, it's almost $14 million. The major cost drivers are the Norfolk County pension assessment, so the money that's paying pensions to our retired employees, employee and retiree health insurance, and OPEB, which is other post-employment benefits, which is similar to the retiree health insurance. As you can see, that big red one is our retirement assessment. So the retirement assessment is currently almost, you know, a little over six and a half million. It is expected to go up. It pretty much goes up every year. Our health insurance currently for this year, for health insurance for active and retired employees, $5.5 million. And then you'll see our OPEB, workers' comp, Medicare, unemployment, and all those other smaller pieces of the pie. We are in the Norfolk County retirement system, but there are over 104 pension systems in Massachusetts, which is a little bit hard to believe because they all follow the exact same rules. They're all governed and overseen by PERAC. But they're broken down typically by county. You'll see that some cities and towns actually have their own retirement system. And a lot of these were not really set up properly upon inception. People were just, you know, setting up pensions and guaranteeing money in the future without necessarily funding those. So right now, Norfolk County retirement system, based on actuarial data, I think everyone's probably seen Dan Sherman, who's really the expert and can explain this a lot better than I can. But the Norfolk County retirement system is only about 63.5% funded, which is really concerning because if, you know, as people continue to retire, they're receiving pensions that the town is funding and we don't have the money available. This year, the pension was almost $7 million. It's based on about 26% of our payroll. And that number is expected to increase by a small percentage each year to the point where it gets to about 31%. And the actuarial studies at this point say that by about FY30, we should be fully funded, and then it'll go back down to about 1-3% per year. So it's a lot of investment now, but the hope is that those costs are gonna go down in the future. And Norfolk County would be all town employees, and then basically there's some exceptions, but it's mostly the school employees who are not teachers. So that's like tech staff, cafeteria workers, people in human resources, the business office, anybody that's not like a licensed teacher. The pension liability has nearly doubled in raw dollars in just 13 years. So you'll see that back in 2010, it was less than $3.5 million. It's now almost seven. We're predicting, we actually just got this number today. It's gonna go up about 16% to about $7 million next year. So that's quite a bit of money that, you know, when you think of how much money's coming in for the town, this is an automatic every year that we have to put aside for non-negotiable pay up. You know, we don't have any flexibility over this. Employee health insurance, obviously it's a big cost. All our active employees working 20 hours or more per week are eligible for health insurance. The town pays 68% on our HMO and our two HMO plans. The employee pays 32%. The PPO plan offers people the option to go to any doctor without referrals, and it also has national coverage, so people that live out of state might choose the PPO plan. The town only pays 50% of that, which ends up costing us just about the same because the plan is so much more expensive. The town budget covers active town employees. The school budget covers active school employees. We cover all the retirees. We have about 256 active full-time employees eligible for benefits, and about 175 are currently taking that health insurance. So it's about 68% of employees elect to take our insurance. We work, I mentioned them before, NFP is our consultants. Ken Lombardi, and he's been working with the town for probably 15, 20 years, maybe even more. And he comes in and gives us information about the trends. He knows a lot about health insurance. He knows all the different plans, knows the people in the industry, and can advise us on trends and potentially redesigning our plans, changing deductibles, changing co-pays, what we can do to try to keep our costs down. In spite of all his efforts and all our efforts, healthcare continues to go up. The last couple of years, it's been up as, you know, 8-9% increases. We have an insurance advisory committee tomorrow. I think they're hoping that that number is gonna go down a little bit, especially compared to this year with COVID. But our claims data is typically very high. So when we get information back from Harvard Pilgrim, they claim that they're losing money on us every month. So therefore our rates definitely won't go down. Hopefully they won't go up too much. As you can see with what we discussed before, about 68% are on our plans. We have HMO, a standard HMO plan, and then we recently started offering the high deductible plan in FY19. So this is our fourth year having it, but you can see just that tiny percentage that elect for the PPO. The high deductible plan has been a cost saver for us. We've been encouraging people to move towards that, and we've had some really good success. As you can see, the deductible is higher, obviously. For an individual plan on the regular HMO, they have a $1,000 medical deductible. That goes up to $2,000 for the high deductible plan. Family is $2,000 for the family compared to $4,000. But the nice thing about this is that once you hit your deductible, you may pay full cost. So you're gonna pay the full contracted rate for services. So you could go to the doctor for strep throat. Instead of paying a $30 copay, you might pay $200. But once you hit that $4,000 family deductible, you have no other costs for the rest of the year. So it's a really good plan for a person or a family that does not have very many healthcare needs. Because if you don't go to the doctor, you're not paying anything and your premium is lower. It's also very good for a family with a lot of medical expenses because you know how to budget that and you know that once you hit that $4,000 that you won't have any additional costs. Our look at it is, of course, it does save the town money every time someone goes to the high deductible plan. So you'll see the HMO for the each employee that's on that, it costs the town $19,725 for a year to cover someone's insurance. That cost for the town goes down to $16,852 for the high deductible. And you'll see that the PPO, the way it's worked out, is actually slightly cheaper for the town, even though it's more for the employee. So you see there, the high deductible plan saves the town $2,872 per year. We're taking that money back. That's per year, per, you can see the individual costs and the family costs. That just got me confused, sorry. We had quite a few people switch to the high deductible, and that saves us quite a bit of money. When we save that money, we give it back to the employees in the form of a health savings account. So we give individuals $750, and the family plan is $1,500, and that money goes into their health savings account, and they can use it for any medical expenses they have. You can also add to your health savings account with pre-tax money. It goes in pre-tax. You can take it out for any medical expenses up to age 55 without being taxed. And after 55, you can actually take that money out and buy yourself a car, even though it went in pre-tax originally for medical purposes. So it's a really good investment tool for people. Retiree health insurance. Our active employees become vested. So these are the vesting requirements. After, if you were hired before 2012, you can retire at age 55 if you have 10 years of service. If you had 20 years of service, you could retire at any age. So we have seen employees come in at 25, work for 20 years, and retire at 45 and collect a pension. They changed that in 2012, so they no longer have that 20-year requirement. But at, after 2012, you could retire at age 60 with 10 years of service. That's sort of the main group one, which is the majority of our employees, but police and fire are in group four, and they have some different eligibility requirements and basically accelerate through that chart a little bit more quickly. Retirees who are under 65, they stay on our HMO or our PPO plan at the exact same cost we talked about earlier. So our retirees continue to cost the town if they pay the same premiums as retirees. Once they reach 65, they're required by law to sign up for Medicare. At that point, they can come onto the town's Medicare supplement plan. So retirees pay for Medicare on their own through Medicare and Social Security, and that they work out the cost of that based on income, then they can pick up our plan. The town still pays 68% of that. It ends up being about, right now it's about $105 a month for the Medicare supplement plan for the employees. We currently have about 500 retirees on our health insurance. When you retire, it becomes two individual plans. So as an active employee or a retiree on an HMO, it's your family plan. A Medicare retiree pays $105, and their spouse is also covered at $105. So we have about 152 spouses that are covered by our plan. As you can see, the health insurance costs go up. The premiums go up a certain amount, but this is our overall budget for all health insurance. FY22 was about 7% over. 21, it was 19% over the year prior, but it's quite a bit of money each year. We talked a little bit about the pension systems not really being properly funded. The same thing with retiree health insurance. So as each person leaves employment is eligible for retirement, that's not something that we saved for in the past to make money for. OPEB has become a much bigger cost, part of the budget. It's other post-employment benefits. We, as of June 30th of last year, they're estimating that it's going to cost us approximately $73 million over time. So we started in 2014 and 15, we started moving the money from the OPEB stabilization account to a trust, and that's managed by the State Pension Reserves Investment Trust, which is PRIT. It's overseen by PRIM, and the balance at the beginning of FY22 was about $8.5 million compared to that $73 that we need. Jamie and Jeff have really prioritized putting more money into OPEB each year, so we have a town policy. It's increasing by $50,000 each year, so it started at $550,000 in FY19. In FY22, it's currently $700,000. It'll continue to go up each year in the budget, and we're also contributing 10% of the town's free cash to that OPEB trust fund each year to really try to prepare for the future and be ready for the costs that are coming. We talked a little bit about workers' compensation. If a person's injured on the job, the town's responsible for all their medical bills and for a portion of the employee's salary, so they don't have to actually use sick or vacation time. Workers' compensation is governed by Mass General Law, Chapter 152, and it's overseen by the Division of Industrial Accidents. That would cover DPW, custodians, facility staff, and office staff. You know, if I stapled my finger, something like any just office injury, someone falling down, tripping over a cord. Payment is based on 60% of their average weekly wage. So our insurance company actually pays the medical bills in this case. So they get paid about 60%, but it's pre-tax. And the average weekly wages would cover overtime. So for some people, it ends up being pretty close to the standard wages. They can also supplement by using some sick or accrued time off, like vacation time. And the town's workers' compensation policy covers both town and school employees. Public safety, police and fire are covered by a different law. They have Mass General Law Chapter 111F, which provides full leave with pay for any work time missed related to injury. And that's pre-tax money, so police and fire are paid 100% of their wages. And the town, we actually pay that ourselves, and the town pays for the medical bills through our insurance company, which is currently Gowrie. The workers' comp with Maya, I think, is about $445,000 a year, and the 111F for police and fire is about $85,000. Medicare tax, we're required to contribute 1.45% of the employee's wages to Medicare, so that was about a little over $341,000. Again, a non-negotiable law of what we need to do to set that money aside. And we're also required to participate in unemployment. Obviously, if someone is unemployed or reduce their hours through no fault of their own, they're eligible for unemployment. Our budget covers both the town and the schools, and we use the reimbursable method. So you'd see some bigger companies might just pay a flat fee, sort of like a overall insurance policy. It makes more sense as a town to pay for each. We pay dollar for dollar for all the benefits paid. So I get a bill every month that runs through exactly what costs have been paid at any time. We pay that. Through unemployment, people are eligible to receive up to 50% of their average weekly wage, up to $974 a week. And they can receive unemployment for up to 30 weeks. We also have a small budget for compensation reserve, and that's really a bucket of money to put aside for unexpected salary costs. So that might be if we're budgeted at a certain amount, someone leaves, especially in this economy, we have to often pay more than what the person was making to recruit someone from the outside. This would cover absences if someone was on a medical leave and you had to hire temporary help or another position. It's also extra funds if a person retires or resigns. We have to pay their full vacation balance or earn time for non-union employees. And we also, especially in a collective bargaining year, we have to put quite a bit of money aside in compensation reserve to cover collective bargaining costs. So a cost of living increase or any other costs associated with the CBA. On top of some of that stuff, we've been quite busy since I started. So I looked a little bit at hiring activities since FY18. So I started in June of 2017. So it's pretty good timing to sort of look at who I've hired since I've been here. I've hired 89 full-time employees, and it's actually gone up. This presentation was from October, so we have a few more to add to that. The big four departments at the time, 19 police officers, 18 firefighters, 8 custodians, a new town electrician, and 17 positions at the DPW. We also had about 22 other part-time positions. Our part-time positions typically work 19 hours or less. Like a part-time custodian, part-time office staff. That included our archivist and our conservation agent, which were sort of big additions to the town over the last couple of years. And we also hire additional on-call and seasonal positions, so like substitute custodians, obviously hundreds of kids working in recreation, referees, camp counselors, lots of activity there. We've hired 11 new department heads since January of 16, and that's right around when Jamie started. That's about 55% of our 20 department heads. So since January of 16, when we go back to when Jamie started, that's a new town administrator, chief of police, fire chief, finance director, treasurer collector, Myself as the HR director, purchasing, health, conservation agent, senior center director, and a veterans officer. We also hired a new superintendent of schools, and the people have elected a new town clerk. And we all have, on top of that, we've had quite a few deputy directors and sort of number twos in each department. So it's been very busy. Some of our other activity, we are implementing a minimum wage standard for all municipal employees. Kind of surprising to hear the cities and towns are actually exempt from minimum wage, but we've made the decision collectively to make sure that we pay that. It's going up each year. Right now it's 1350. It'll go up to 1425 in 2022. It'll go up to $15 in 2023. So that, you know, it's small money, but it does add up with the number of our part-timers, especially our students, recreation staff, summer students that come back for the DPW and custodian staff. The Massachusetts Equal Pay Act of 2018, it's really a law to make sure that females are compensated at the same salary as males, and looking at equal pay a little bit differently in terms of what's equal work. So we've done quite a bit of study on that, and we'll continue to focus on that in the compensation study. We got through a full round of collective bargaining agreements. It seems like it was just yesterday, but those will be expiring again on June 30th, about 6 months. We'll be starting all over again next spring. I did quite a bit of work with all the departments to reformat those collective bargaining agreements. When you have a living document that's 20 years old, there's a lot of cut and paste and move stuff around. We found it was just getting very difficult to read, so we reformatted all of those. Still working on the police one. We have a lot of great ideas. We have it pretty much ready to go. We just haven't had time to sit down and work through all those changes with the union. But the other ones are all published on the HR website. And if you're familiar with any of the old contracts, you'll see a big improvement. We redrafted the employee manual, and we're making at least annual updates, you know, kind of checking in as laws change, making sure we're keeping up with everything. That's also available online now. Jamie and I redrafted the town human resources bylaw, just making sure that it's up to date and making it was a little bit vague before. We certainly value diversity and have protected classes and equal opportunity, but we made sure that everything that we had in the bylaws matched federal and state requirements. We switched from Tufts Health Plan to Harvard Pilgrim in July of 2018, which was a huge endeavor, but we've been very happy with Harvard Pilgrim so far. We had our first annual benefits fair in 2019. We weren't able to do that the next couple of years due to COVID, but we're hoping to get that back together this spring. Lots of work on COVID-19, working almost daily with the public health director and department heads, really figured out, you know, if you test, you close contact on this day, you get a test on day five, counting everything out. Just throughout the leave, I'd be on the phone with two or three employees a day saying, okay, this is what you need to do. This is day zero, that's day five, test on this day, come back on this day, tracking all that. And we've also had significant reorgs in police, fire, and DPW at the time I've been here. We'll continue to work on our classification and compensation study. We're hoping to get a more concrete remote work policy, because obviously in COVID we realized that people could be very successful at home. It's certainly, I mean, we're a very customer-friendly environment. We have a lot of walk-ins. It's not going to happen that we'll ever all work from home, but we certainly want to add some of that flexibility, which will help us retain people when they can go somewhere else and make more money sitting on their couch. We need to kind of keep up with that. We'll get ready for collective bargaining soon, as I mentioned. We're hoping to get that HR applicant tracking system and electronic personnel files. There was a grant, but we found out at the last hour we weren't actually eligible for it for this project, so we're hoping to build that into the budget at some point. And we'll just continue succession planning and planning ahead to hire our workforce. Any questions, comments?
Thank you, Karen. Great presentation for sure. Questions or comments from the council? Councilor Pellegrini.
I want to thank you, Karen. Thank you for a great presentation.
Thank you.
With all the years that I've been here and that, I have never seen a human resource person come and give a report the way you did tonight. I mean, yes, they may have come and just given us a little bit here and there, but nothing like tonight. So we are very fortunate to have you.
Thank you
for that. And just keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Pellegrini. Councilor Chandler?
Through you, Mr. Chairman. Hi, Karen.
Hey.
I asked you for some info last week and you got back to me ASAP. I appreciate
okay,
that.
Okay, no problem.
Doing a great job. I think some people at home, I know you brought up how you're keeping track of the workers that have COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the ways that we're paying them, are we using that federal money?
Yeah, so at the beginning of the pandemic, there was the Families First Coronavirus Response Act, FFCRA. I don't remember what it stands for exactly. I think it was Coronavirus Response Act. That was available for, at the beginning of the pandemic, for up to 80 hours of paid leave. As a municipal government, we actually were not able to submit for reimbursement for that. I forget the ins and outs of exactly why we weren't, but we did look into it. We couldn't submit for reimbursement, but we were able to get, I think, some money from federal money to cover some of the back bills, especially in police and fire. Was that?
So
which money was that?
It was CARES and FEMA provided some money for backfill.
Yeah, so it's
and
mostly
overtime.
Yeah, police and fire especially. Obviously when someone's out, you can't, you know, if I'm out, Sandy will cover me, or you know, most people have a backup. Police and fire don't have that flexibility, so we did use the CARES Act money and FEMA money and other stuff to cover the backfill costs. But we weren't able to directly reimburse for the actual costs of people being out of work. The FFCRA expired in December of 2020, so last December we no longer had that act or that requirement to cover pay. At that point, I think everyone thought it was getting better, so obviously we didn't actually have as many cases during that period. But from January through May, employees were using their own paid time off. If they had to be quarantined or had COVID. In the end of May of 2021, Governor Baker passed state legislation that allows employees to get paid for up to 40 hours of COVID leave. And we've been tracking that closely. We can actually submit to the state for reimbursement for that. So I was trying to get that July to December 31st, and then I would calculate the actual cost for that and submit for reimbursement.
And one more thing. Obviously, I think you said this, I had it written down here. I think every counselor agrees with this. I was thinking about the employees' emotional well-being. I know the schools are always talking about that. And I think we all agree family first.
Right.
That's what you just said. That's what I had written down.
Yeah.
So when employees are having a hard time, they're pretty much directed towards your office.
Yep. For you mean for COVID or for
no, just
anything?
Emotional, yeah.
Yeah,
any problem.
Yeah. Generally, I think people would try to put them in touch with me. We do have an employee assistance program, which is available through Maya, which is our insurance company. And it's really a great resource. They have a 1-800 number, they have a website, and you can basically call them 24/7, and they will kind of walk you through any crisis that you're having. They set you up with 4 counseling sessions, and they'll try to actually find a therapist or a counselor that accepts your insurance, which is definitely one of the bigger hurdles if you're having, you know, mental health issues and having trouble, and then you have to call and find a doctor that's available. You have to find someone that takes your insurance. That's, you know, really difficult. So the employee assistance program will help with that. They also have like free a legal advisor that would meet for them for up to a half hour. They offer like, I need to find a pet sitter in the area. Can you help me? Just anything that you need to kind of balance work and life at home. So that's definitely a good resource that we point people to quite a bit.
And lastly, Mr. Chairman, I do worry about all this inflation with all the collective bargaining coming mm-hmm. on, because the employees are going to lose ground. So I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, we're absolutely doing what we can to try to keep the health insurance costs down, but it is really tough when health insurance costs, cost of living, everything, you know, even groceries is going up, and their salaries may not be going up in that same percentage.
Thank you, Karen. I appreciate everything. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Chandler. Councilor Hamblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair, to Karen, thank you so much for being here tonight. That was amazing. You've done a lot of work, especially all the department heads. That's kind of amazing, the turnover we've had here in Franklin. So you have a wish list, and one of them is the software for the for the employee, what is the word? when people apply, so that you can electronically keep all everything together. And another staff member maybe to help. Is there anything else on your wish list?
So there's two different pieces of software that would certainly be very helpful and make things a lot easier. So that would be applicant tracking. So right now we have an apply at franklinma.gov. That email comes in, and Sandy in my office is taking each email and saving it to a shared drive in Google, which, you know, it's not impossible, but it is somewhat time consuming. Before I started, they were printing out every resume and having department heads come up and look through the stack. So, you know, we're making progress, but it is time consuming. And just a lot to try to keep track of all the people coming in. We don't always have the time to, we have an automatic message that says thank you for applying, but we don't always have the time to reach back out and say, okay, that position's been filled, or, you know, I always follow up with anyone that interviewed, but we don't always have the manpower or the technology to easily follow up with people and say they weren't selected for an interview and it's been filled. That would also help with sharing the files with the department heads. I could probably click a button and send Jamie the resume. Maybe some approval processes that we could put into that system instead of in our payroll system, so that would be great. And right now, as you can imagine, with this many employees and with all the paper we have a whole big file room of just hundreds of personnel files. It's obviously a waste of paper, but it's tricky. Everyone's sending stuff by email. People are scanning stuff. It's coming into the office. We have to take the extra time out of our day, obviously, to put it in the files. And then it's just, you know, it's very easy to put it in the wrong file. When someone leaves, we have to keep those files for, I think we probably keep them forever, but records retention is probably at least like 25, 50 years. We're running out of storage. You know, we pay for storage at Iron Mountain. Chris Sandini's team did a great job trying to get a lot of stuff out of Iron Mountain, and we're going to be putting it in DPW storage to save some money. But electronic personnel files would just be a dream. You take something, you have a list of employees, you just electronically drag it to their folder and you're done. And you could also share access with department heads or with other people. They have resources that if you have a legal case or something come in, I literally spend hours copying, you know, a 30-year personnel file. You can just click it and say, okay, send, and they'll send them a link securely that they can get all those documents. So that's definitely a priority. It is expensive, but it would save a lot of manpower and energy and time.
Sounds good. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Councilor Hamblin. Councilor DeLocco.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Karen. That was a great presentation. Just a couple questions. With the drug testing, because I know it's a tough time with COVID, you have the failures. Do we offer help through the? Do they have to use their own insurance, or do we have programs out there?
Oh, like for a current employee?
Yeah.
Yeah. The random testing that we do for current employees is all for DPW CDL drivers.
Right.
Yeah, so the CDL is governed by federal law, but they actually require that you help the person. We put them in touch with a substance abuse professional.
Okay.
It's called the SAP. Maya, that runs our employee assistance program, actually helps with that. So they'll put a person in touch with a substance abuse professional. They'll help them get resources to get into rehab or into other services. And then the substance abuse professional has to clear them to come back to work. So we certainly, you know, depending on the infraction.
Rehab two times before you?
It depends on the circumstances. Okay. We haven't experienced it very much, luckily.
We
usually want to give someone the opportunity to get help. But obviously, if it's, you know, a recurring issue or if it's affecting their work, you know, we might have to separate from employment, but we'd certainly try to get them in touch with the right resources and get them help.
Obviously, if they have to use their own insurance obviously, the insurance in the town, it's not your fault, I'm in the program too. Mm-hmm. The insurance that we have in our garbage, to be honest with you, in the private sector, they're much better.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, but that's just something we can't pay.
Yeah, because you can see how expensive it is what we do.
Goes up 8%, you give them a 3% raise. Who wins? The insurance company wins. That's the only one that wins.
Right.
But unfortunately, that's all we have to be able to.
Yeah.
But thank you for the presentation.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor DeLocco. Is there Councilor?
Through you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for the presentation. It was fascinating. Looking ahead, I love that you're doing a lot of thinking and, you know, trying to figure out where we might have some gaps and do some planning. Is there a date when we might have an issue with maybe a lot of people with planned retirements and we don't necessarily have the employees like in queue to fill that we should be concerned, or just sort of curious?
In terms of replacing employees that are leaving?
Yeah.
I don't think, I mean, it's been challenging keeping up with the amount of retirements, especially at police and fire. But there definitely seems to be, you know, eager young people that are willing to join the profession. I think Franklin has a very good reputation with such great departments that we do see, you know, people that are eager to come here. So I don't think we'll really anticipate too much. I think people, in terms of the management team, we have a really attractive form of government with you as the town council. We don't have as much bureaucracy and red tape as a town that might have, you know, a board of selectmen and town meeting. So people that are familiar with the industry have certainly, you know, looked to us for that. There's certainly niche positions that are a little bit harder to fill, but I don't anticipate that we'd, you know, really hit any major challenges backfilling positions.
I've heard that finance positions in municipal government are very hard to come by. Is that, you finding that?
Yeah, they are, but I think we've done a really good job of staying ahead of that. So Jim Dacey was our treasurer for, 25, 30 years. When he got close to retirement, he sort of knew that time was coming, and they hired Carrie Bertone as an assistant treasurer. We employed her and kept our other assistant treasurer for a year and a half and did quite a bit of training, and then when Jim retired, she went through the full interview process and was selected as a treasurer. So we really try to stay ahead to, you know, grow our own people and make sure that we, you know, we're ready for that. We're pretty well staffed in finance right now. We did hire an assistant treasurer that just started like 6 months ago, and she's amazing. The finance staff is well established, and you know, as we look to the future when they retire, I think we'll probably go through some of the same succession planning and training within, or maybe hiring with some overlap. We've done that a lot more than some other towns, that places will wait until someone's gone and then do a search and have like a 2 or 3 month gap and maybe not get the right fit. But we've really stayed ahead of that, and all our managers and all our staff have been really good about giving a lot of advance notice. We usually know when someone's going. We're like, all right, he's gonna go in 2023, and then as it gets closer, they'll give us notice so we can have plenty of time to search and maybe even have overlap for training.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Cormier-Ledger. Any other questions or comments from the council? Jamie, anything to add?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just really quickly to Councilor Cormier-Ledger's question, one other feature that recently all of you supported in our collective bargaining agreements, which we've now gone through 3 years, particularly for police and fire, we have provisions in there for their buyout. So if they were going to retire 9 months from now, they would submit a letter and get a higher percentage of their vacation time paid out at the end. Which has allowed our chiefs an incredible opportunity to not have those huge gaps in between, where some of that has benefited some of the folks that we've hired locally that we've put through the academy. And so that we kind of gave this a try. We prioritized it on the management level. You know, we didn't really know what to expect, actually. And I think we would say thus far, it's been a huge success in all of our departments and collective bargaining contracts to have those provisions in there, because we find out so much further in advance, and it puts the onus on them for a better benefit. So it's really a win-win where we're able to go out and make sure we can plan. So, you know, that helps us save in overtime. It helps us save from having to force folks to come in, as the chief was saying earlier. So. We try to do, that's just one example of a bunch of things, Councilor, that we try to do to try to make sure those gaps are as short, if any, as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Karen, thank you very much for
a
great,
thank you for
great
having me.
Presentation.
Awesome.
It was certainly very
thank you.
Okay, moving on. Subcommittee reports.
We haven't, but can I announce when we're going to have a meeting?
You certainly can.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. EDC, I'm very excited. January 5th will be our first meeting of this session. It will be EDC Plus meeting. We will have members of the Planning Board and the Zoning Board with us and the MAPC to discuss some of the zoning updates that we've been talking about, and the website's up to date now, and so I'm really excited about that project. So everybody tune in. January 5th, 5:45.
Thank you, Councilor Hamblin. I don't think there's any others. We'll move on to legislation for action, and somebody write this down. We do not have any on the agenda tonight. Town Administrator's Report, Jamie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple notes. I just got a letter a little while ago. I think many of you got it from our state senator, Karen Spilka, and our legislative delegation, Senator Rausch and Representative Roy. The ARPA federal relief bill of the money that went to the state. We got four appropriations in that legislation. The governor just signed the bill, I think, yesterday. $700,000 for the extension of the SNET trail. $130,000 for the development of affordable and accessible senior housing in Franklin. Translation, Franklin Ridge. $150,000 for the production of affordable rental supportive senior housing in Franklin. Again, translation, Franklin Ridge. And $20,000 for support access to public transportation in Franklin. The translation on that is Representative Roy and I have been working with GATRA over the last couple of years in their pandemic troubles of trying to get people on the bus. And through this appropriation, as well as a portion of our own federal money that we've received in Franklin, we've committed to continuing to provide free rides to the Franklin Senior Center. And in addition, that will also help people get rides and pay for rides where people have to take GATRA on demand for their doctor's appointments or other critical services. So I just wanted to mention those huge achievements, and I want to thank, obviously, our legislators and Senator Spilker, Rep. Roy, and Senator Rausch for all their advocacy on all these projects. So that's great wins for the town of Franklin. And then finally, I just want to wish everybody a happy holiday, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. It's unbelievable that in 2.5 weeks, it'll be the year 2022. After 2020 and 2021, I think this is a great opportunity for a New Year's resolution to all try to be better next year. And I don't know what else to say about it, but whatever happened the last couple of years, I hope it gets a lot better in the next year, as I'm sure all of you are too. So here, here to a great new year, and just thank you for all the support.
Thank you, Jamie. Okay, moving on. Future agenda items. Councilor Sharon.
Nothing is done.
Councilor Frangillo.
Excited to get to work in the new year.
Councilor Hamblin.
Nothing at this time.
Councilor Cormier-Ledger.
Nothing,
sir. Councilor Chandler.
Nothing at this time.
Councilor Pellegrini.
No, sir.
Councilor Jones.
No, sir.
Councilor DeLocco.
Nothing at this time.
Okay, we'll move on to council comments. Councilor Cormier-Ledger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it's appropriate to take a second and thank our neighbors out there who really pitched in with the Santa Foundation, and they've, to my knowledge, helped at least 400 local families this season with their long list of things that people needed, without worry of anyone knowing kind of who they were or what they were asking. It's all done anonymously. So to all the little elves out there who have given to that great organization, who have helped make a nice Christmas and holidays for those families, I just want to say thank you and wish everyone a very Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, Happy New Year. Looking forward to 2022.
Thank you. Councilor Chandler.
Through you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to bring up one quick issue that I threw you to the town administrator. This, I think this might have fell through the cracks, because myself and the chairman brought this up a few months ago. Those generators that are still at the DPW. Are we going to sell them for parts or sell them whole? They've been there. I think this has been going on since last January, because that meeting was on TV today that we talked about it this morning. Like I said, it must have just fell through the cracks, so I just wanted to get an update on that. Not till after the new year or whatever, but just to keep in mind.
We do have a little bit of an update. Jamie,
okay,
go ahead.
Thank you.
Yeah, through Mr. Chairman, a couple notes to Councilor Chandler. He is correct. We just got the specs actually designed for the generator. And the facilities director did tell me that they'll be hopefully putting out that bid in mid to late January. I would argue it, I don't know if we can get it as soon as, I don't think it really, I'm not so sure it fell through the cracks as much as it's just been the volume of work has been unsustainable. Mm-hmm. And I do think though, as the facilities director, he's not going to get up to the mic because we don't want to get in trouble with the open meeting law, but as he knows, he's going to shake his head. He knows I've been on top of him on this for months. This particular project, and I think as 2022 does get started, there are a lot of odds and ends that have either fallen through the cracks or gotten pushed aside onto the back burner that we have to clean up, both for the municipal side as well as the school side. So a big focus in 2022 are going to be on a variety of those smaller projects, and certainly ones that have been appropriated. So,
and I think push to the back burner is a better way, better way to phrase it, based upon what's gone on in the last couple of years. But it certainly has been on my agenda for a while as well.
I saw it.
Yeah,
that meeting today, and
good point.
And lastly, thank you for the town report. I think as Council Pellegrini will tell you, in years past, if people didn't get their books, that was the end. They would be yelling and screaming, so appreciate that. And as Council Pendulo said, just look forward to getting back to work, and happy holidays.
Thank you.
Thank you, Council Chandler. Council Pellegrini.
Through the chair, I was going to mention about the town report also, to thank Nancy, the town clerk, because she is the one that puts this all together. And that's a lot of work. She has her elections and all that she's been busy with, and then to go ahead and do this too, and stay right on top of things. So to the town clerk, we say thank you very much. I want to say happy holidays to everyone, and a happy new year. And I don't really have any comments per se right now, other than with the report here. But I look forward to 2022 and getting a lot of things accomplished during that year. So I thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Pellegrini. Councilor Sheridan.
Yes, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
Councilor Frangillo.
Yeah, a few things. Could I also ask for an update from Jamie through you on both the housing production plan and complete streets, which are both at the state level? Do we have any understanding of timelines when we see those back, or have they been approved?
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, no, they've not been approved, nor do we have any timeline on when they may be.
Let us know when they do come in. That'd be great. Thank you. Other things, Franklin Building on Rail Trail, so we just got $700,000 to the extension of the SNAP, which is fantastic, and a huge thank you to our legislative delegation. I know that the Franklin Building on Rail Trail Committee is looking for new members, so if you're interested in helping be a part of that conversation, they have monthly meetings every second Tuesday. You can follow my page or go to Franklin Building on Rail Trail on Facebook or online. If you're interested in joining. We had a Love Franklin open mic night last Wednesday, and it was fantastic. Just incredible amount of talent in Franklin, people sharing their stories through art, the amount of original poems and songs and stories. It was just a really positive environment, and I hope that we can continue doing that. And a special shout out to Blackbuck for providing their space for that. And the last thing is just as we head into the holiday season, if I could, you know, push everyone to continue to treat everyone with as much respect as they can. I know that school administration in particular continues to face scrutiny around COVID. It's difficult. There are a lot of difficult decisions that they're making on a regular basis. But if we could at least be approaching all of them, they work very hard and have the best interests of the town at heart. Just treat everyone with respect. That's my final message as we head into the holidays. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Frangillo. Councilor Hamlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, the last few days I've been thinking a lot about the people who have been who are affected by those tornadoes and all these people, all the things they need and they've lost. And we've hit 800,000 lives that we've lost here in the United States due to COVID. And I feel like we should all just take a moment and think about them and then just wish that we all have a peaceful and healthy new year and that we all stay safe. So I hope everybody stays safe and leads with kindness. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Hamblin. Councilor Jones.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Throw my comment. basically, you know, a heartfelt prayer and love go out to those affected by the tornadoes and the tornado in that tornado wind area of Kentucky and that whole valley. That was just a very tragic piece of news. I'm very sad to hear that happened to those people. Very unfortunate event. Which brings up an interesting topic in regards to if anybody has the opportunity or the means to go down to that region and help out, I'm sure it would be greatly appreciated. If I have the time, I myself will hopefully try to find some time to get down to that area and support things. In regards to helping out things, I have yet to hear if any of the Ohio missionaries who were kidnapped in Haiti have yet still been released. They've been held captive for over 2 months, at least, in Haiti. So there's a lot of things going on in this war that we need to pay attention to, and we really need to put our efforts towards helping out with. One thing I know for certain is we're very fortunate to live here in the town of Franklin, and there isn't a day that goes by that I don't wake up and say thank you, God, for putting me in this wonderful town, having good friends and having a great community. On a different note, as far as COVID is concerned, I don't think we can put our heart down. I think Councilor Hamlin would agree with me when I say, for as much as we would all hope to be getting past this as quicker than we have, with the spikes that have come up from Thanksgiving, with the spikes that are expected to come up from Christmas, I think we all need to show our due diligence and just continue to follow the protocols until this finally blows over. And hope and prayers for 2022 to be one of the better years to come. But it will undoubtedly be difficult, but I have all the faith in our community that we will get through it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Jones. Councilor DeLocco.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And then again, the people down in Kentucky, and you know, hopefully maybe might be driving a tractor trailer down there, fill the water, you know, you never know. I might be doing that.
That's
you know, I volunteered. I don't know if I'm gonna get called, but be glad to do it. And yeah, those people are gonna have a horrible, horrible holiday season, you know. So we gotta say prayers to that. Mm-hmm. Mother Nature is awful funny, you know. You can't, when the old saying, don't mess with Mother Nature, that means don't mess with Mother Nature. And obviously that was shown there. But outside of that, everyone should have a happy holiday getting to the season. You know, everybody should be looking
forward to it.
Everyone should be happy. Have a happy holidays. Merry Christmas. And Happy New Year, and please stay safe, everybody.
Thank you, Councilor DeLocco. Again, Councilor Jones said, you know, we do have to do our due diligence as we get through the holiday season with COVID, and hopefully we will not feel any major, major spikes, but we do have to do our due diligence. And certainly as we look forward into 2022, we certainly want 2022 to be able to be looking into the rearview mirror at
COVID. So, as well, looking into the new year, looking forward to January, the council will be setting our goal session meetings, setting our goals for the upcoming year. Look forward to everybody coming to those goal setting sessions and listening to what we're looking to do in the coming year or two. As well, like my fellow councilors say, happy holidays to everyone. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and look forward to a better 2022. Cheers. With that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second, non-debatable. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries.
Non-debatable.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.